Now, we've mentioned that 9 on 8,000 public service sector jobs are going. An interesting lineup of those who aren't being forced to take cuts. Interestingly, the finance minister says there's going to be increased productivity and we're going to utilise AI. Maybe next time you ring up a public service organisation, you'll get that sort of answer. Yep. Which number? If you want this, press 1. So human interaction being lessened, jobs are being lost, and businesses ultimately will close, and many of those people will depart. We've spoken about public service job cuts regularly across this governmental term, and it hasn't ceased. In fact, the axe is swinging even more heavily. The government's plan to reduce the public service workforce to around 1% of the population has sparked strong criticism, with the Public Service Association's National Secretary, Dwayne Lear, warning it's going to affect not just Wellington, but communities and services right across the country. And Dwayne Lear is with us for a kōrero. Tēnā koe, Dwayne. Ko Dale tēnei. Thanks for joining us on Wātere again.
Good morning, Dale. Good to be.
And good to be with you as well, Dwayne. Mate, what do you see as the most immediate impacts of these proposed cuts on frontline public services across the country, and, well, not just in Wellington, Dwayne?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in terms of immediate impacts yesterday, the shock that's rippling through thousands of public servants around the country with this announcement. I mean, our members, public service workers, have been going through constant change during the term of this coalition government. And now, to be given this, it's just, morale is already low, and you've got a public service that is struggling at the moment. And to basically be told that, you know, in the next 3 years, 9,000, one in seven public service jobs will go, it's a wrecking ball through the services New Zealanders rely on every single day.
They say that it's top heavy, that there are too many public servants. We want to pull the number back. We'll save billions of dollars across the next few years. It's as if the people who are earning aren't spending, but they are, surely. Every pay packet gets rolled back into our national economy, does it not, Dwayne?
100%, Dale. I mean, and as I mentioned, there's already been cuts. Our members have been through 2 years of relentless restructuring. There's just no fat left. It's all gone. So what is left are people shouldering ever-increasing demands. And the reality is that they're going to have to cut to make these objectives. And it's interesting because in terms of the announcement yesterday, as we unpacked it, they've ring-fenced off quite a number of core agencies that won't be involved. So the ones that are left, potentially they'll be decimated by these plans that are put in place.
It hasn't escaped my attention that many of them are the heavy arm of the public service. I say that because 13 government departments are exempt. I'll list some of them: the Defence Force, the Police, the Corrections, Oranga Tamariki, the Security and Intelligence Service, the Government Communications Security Bureau, the Ministry of Defence, the Serious Fraud Office. So while we're axing jobs in other areas, the one that keeps its eye on the people and polices this state, exempt. Why do you think that is so, Dwayne? Dwayne-o. Dwayne-o. What's happened to Dwayne Lear? Phone's dropped out. Now, this is probably due to public service cuts. Obviously, his phone line's been chopped at the knees. We'll try and get him back. All right, so 13 government departments are exempt. The Ministry of Justice, excluding tertiary functions, the Ministry of Education, Crown Law Office, Serious Fraud Office. Something happened to the phone, mate. I think it was to do with public service cuts.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they want to shut me up, Dale, because I've been on for the last day or so, and they're probably not happy. But as I was just saying in terms of that response, key here is that look at the places that are still open. I mean, that, you know, we've got emergency response teams, we've got MPI, we've got vital agencies that New Zealanders rely on, and they're still up on the chopping block. Will this mean fewer biosecurity officers keeping pests and diseases out of the country, fewer people stopping online harm, child exploitation and scams, fewer inspectors keeping our workplaces safe? The reality is there's going to be some significant cuts here, and it's going to affect New Zealanders throughout the country. And I just also, picking up on what was said before, a lot of these are actually outside, 55% of these are actually outside of Wellington. So people are going to feel it throughout the country, and the flow-on effects are there. And I think yesterday, starting to talk with our members, the reality is each of these jobs, each of these numbers, as the government terms them, are people, people's lives, working people, people that help with farmers in terms of animal and plant diseases, customs and biosecurity officers, people monitoring industry standards. These are public service workers working for New Zealand with families, and all of a sudden they've all been put out to say, well, potentially your job, one in seven of you will be gone. And that's, it's for many of our members and for the wider public service out there.
How rich then does Luxon's speech last week about prioritising social cohesion over bottom line for business, how does that sit when we are trying to create a more equitable society? And what does the sacking of 8,000 workers out of the public service contribute to our country's social cohesion, do you think, Dwayne?
Well, it does nothing at all. And I mean, that's just lip service. This government's failed in its economic management. The economy's stalled. And as a result, New Zealanders will suffer from cuts to crucial public services. And I just want to say what was picked up yesterday by a lot of members. So in terms of the Prime Minister's comments, you had the Minister for Public Services there too, is the Prime Minister made a comment around this is not a make work scheme. So these are hardworking public service workers, and to be criticised like that, and just it's just this government, it goes beyond any kind of empathy. It's just they're not connected. They're not there's no reality for them in terms of what's happening to your average New Zealander out there. So, again, these cuts on thousands of working New Zealanders, you know, this is generational.
It seems demented. They might as well be advertising for the Australian Immigration Service, these politicians are coming up with these ideas. Now, you're going to lose 8,000 jobs, but there will be increased productivity. Might you touch on this, please? And and frontline services won't be affected, and we will integrate AI more into how we roll going forward. I mean, what do you make of this sort of rhetoric?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things here, and it's actually really, really quite interesting the way they've framed it. And yesterday they couldn't really talk to it, but let's be blunt here, that, you know, we're not against AI. The PSA has called for an approach that maximizes the benefits of AI for not just workers but for the wider public. But the idea that AI will replace 9,000 public service workers by 2029, that's fantasy. No government anywhere in the world has done this. Countries that have invested far more in digital government than New Zealand have found no evidence that AI can display people scale. And if it is, as you look at, as you mentioned, Australia, they're investing in AI. They're investing in their public service. Well, this government's taken the opposite direction. It's like we see AI as replacing public service workers. And so what they've done is they've turned a tool, they've turned an opportunity into a threat for the public service workforce. So again, do we expect now, and I think you mentioned it in the promo coming into this, that the public going to deal with chatbots? Is a chatbot going to protect the border? Is a chatbot going to make sure that the workplaces are safe around New Zealand? I mean, this, it just doesn't add up, Dale.
Well, again, savagery is the only way to describe the assault on working class people under the term of this coalition government. You've been around a long time working in this space, Dwayne. Can you recall anything like it in recent memory?
To the extent that it's actually happening now, Dale, I think, no, this is unprecedented. Because as you've just mentioned, if we look at what else has been happening during the term of this government, they've got proposed changes to the Health and Safety Act that will make it a lot more unsafe for workers in New Zealand. They're changing in terms of the Employment Leave Bill. So that'll mean the way annual leave, sick leave and public holidays are calculated is going to be changed for some parts of the workforce. The Employment Relations Act, the Fire at Will Bill that's come into play. So protections in terms of employees been able to take personal grievances, a lot of that's been stripped away. There was the court case where contractors, people termed contractors with Uber, won to be able to actually be able to be called employees. The government just legislated out of that. This government has been, for the last 2.5 years, attacking constantly working New Zealanders. And November 7th this year, we need to fire back, and we need to make sure that we're clear that we need to change this government, because it is a clear and present danger for working New Zealanders.
Great talking with you. Thanks, Dwayne. There'll be more to say about it. Look forward to conversations with Fleur and other representatives of working class people and union perspectives in the weeks ahead. But I do appreciate you spending some time with us as the National Secretary of the PSA. Dwayne Leo with us today. Thank you, Dwayne.
Kia ora. Thank you, Dale.